Who are we here this morning worshiping? Jesus. Who is Jesus? Anybody? Huh?
My Savior.
Your Savior. All right. I want to take a look at who this Jesus is this morning and what He's all about. Because His mission becomes our mission. Whatever He is about is what we are to be about. I have a text I want to share with you from Luke. It's one of the very first times Jesus got up before a congregation of people. He had been out in the wilderness. He was about 30 years old. And the Spirit of God had directed him to go out in the wilderness. And there he met with the devil. He was out there 40 days without any food to drink, to eat. How many is looking forward to 12 o'clock? Nathaniel. Because he knows Pappy's paying. How many has ever been without food, totally nothing to eat for a day? Huh? Anybody for a day? All right. How about a week? A week. 2 weeks. Three. Sister Wes. 40 days. It's over a month. No food. Jesus was out. How do you think you would feel after 40 days? Nothing to eat. Think you might be a little weak? Huh? Feeling a little shaky? I know I've been without food for a little while and I start to feel a little shaky. And man, I've got to make a trip to Burger King. But Jesus was out there for 40 days, nothing to eat. And at the end of the 40 days, guess who come to see him? The devil. He and the devil had a time. The devil tempted him three different ways. We'll get to that a little later. You know the story. Jesus, in his weakened condition, probably at the weakest he had been since he had been born, overcame the devil. Now, just a little side note there. Some said, well, I was weak and I gave in. I've heard that. The devil knew just when to tempt me because I was really weak at that minute, that moment. Don't you think Jesus was weak? I don't know about you, but I know about me. If I had been that long without eating, first thing I'd want to do is make it over to Keystone Family Kitchen for a chicken leg. That's what would be on my mind. And you know, the first thing the devil did was, if you're the Son of God, why don't you turn these stones into bread? Wouldn't you like to have a nice homemade loaf of bread? You stick it in the, you pull it out of the oven, it's nice and hot, you slice it down, you get some good old homemade butter and you slather it on there and it melts down through the bread and you just, I can taste it. Huh? But Jesus overcame all of that. He said no. And right after that, he came into town. Where he was born, where he was raised. Everybody there knows who he is. And on the Sabbath, he goes to the local synagogue, the church. And this is what happens. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, listen, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are opposed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. Suppose I get up some Sunday morning, just opened my Bible, read a passage of Scripture, shut the Bible, went back and sat down. What would you do? I figured some would. That's what Jesus did. All eyes were in the synagogue, were fixed on him. Everybody looking at him. And then he began to say to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Wow. So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this the son of Joseph? Is not this Joseph's son? And he just got up and read from Isaiah and said that that scripture is now fulfilled today. He was starting his earthly ministry. This was his first teaching session in the synagogue of his own hometown where everybody knew who he was. He had been out, as I said, for 40 days. He had been in a confrontation with the devil. He had nothing to eat for 40 days, and a spiritual battle ensued afterwards. And after that spiritual battle, he was ministered to by the angels of heaven and strengthened for the start of his ministry. These events give us just a little glimpse of who this man Jesus is. You know, most of the time when we say, who is Jesus? We're talking about the one who died on the tree. Sunday school was about that. We're talking about the one that was raised from the dead. But I want us to see him in another light this morning. First of all, notice that he was victorious over temptation. Satan tempted him in all three areas of human exposure to sin. And what are they? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. In the lust of the flesh, Satan tempted him to turn the stones into bread and appease his hunger. He was hungry. And if you are the Son of God, if you are who you say you are, if you are the Messiah, if you are the one who came from heaven, guess what? The devil knew who he was. The devil knew he had the power to do so. And so the devil was tempting him to feel the lust of his flesh. You're hungry. You're weak. Now, if you really are the Son of God, prove who you are. Turn the stones into bread and take a bite. Eat up. Jesus turned to him with the gnawing pains of hunger in his belly, with all of the need for something to fulfill the craving of his body. I'm sure his body was crying out, every cell of it, feed me, feed me, feed me. Yet in the face of that temptation to fulfill the lust of his flesh, the desires of his flesh, he turned to the devil and said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Somebody say amen. What comes first in your life? The desires of the flesh, for the commands of Christ? I don't need to ask the question. I'm human. I know exactly what the answer is. I could say, how many of you have been tempted by your fleshly desires? Every last one of us in here have been. All of us have been there. And the only reason that we did go after the desires of the flesh is because we wanted that more than we wanted the truth of God. More than the things of Christ. More than serving the Lord. We wanted to fulfill the lust and desires of this flesh more than we wanted Jesus and his truth. Amen?
Amen.
Secondly, Satan tempted him with the lust of the eyes, tempting him by offering Jesus the kingdoms of the world if he would just bow down and worship Satan. He could see all of the kingdoms, but Satan had them parade before him there as he was standing on the mount, and he could get a glimpse of all of these great kingdoms of the world. And Satan said, they're all yours. Look at them. Don't they look good? How many saw all those lottery tickets? $1.5 billion? Wow. What couldn't I do with that? I see a great big mansion. Woo! I see a Rolls Royce. I see flying to distant areas of the world and living it up. Hello? That's the same thing Satan was offering to Jesus. What the eyes were beholding, what they were desiring. With me these days, you know, it's kind of gotten down to that, I see that fifth chicken leg. I'd love to bite into that. Huh? Maybe it's that pretty chick walking down the street. Woo! Baby. Don't she look good? Yeah. Maybe it's that handsome hunk. I hear those snickers. You see with the eyes and you desire, you want. And that's the same thing that he did with Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "Get behind me, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve." The third one was pride of life. Tempting him to prove his power by taking him up on the pinnacle of the temple and saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, you can cast yourself off of this high tower, and as you're falling, the angels will certainly come and undergird you and hold you up and show everybody you are the Son of God. You are the one." I know. When I was in high school, I had a ducktail. Believe it or not, I had a wave up here that wouldn't stop waving. It was almost as bad as Trump. I'd open this top couple of buttons and walk down the hall to high school. "Hi, I'm J.D. Lay. Get my comb." Huh? Hot stuff. If I wasn't careful when I get in my 04 Mustang and put the top down, and I know what's under the hood and I know what it'll do. By experience. And I start down the road and I see this one looking and that one looking. There's that temptation to just floor it, you know. How many of us have been there? Pride of life. Oh, yeah. You taking your wife out on your arm and every man's a looking. "Ah, she's mine." "You can't have her." Pride of life, that's the same thing, was appealing to Jesus. What did Jesus say to him? "You shall not tempt the Lord your God." Three times he was tempted in every way like as you and I, and yet with all three he was victorious. I'm telling you, one of the first things we need to recognize if we are going to be working for the Lord, we need to deal with the temptations of the flesh and know that we have victory over it. If we're out there serving the Lord, living for Christ, doing His will, doing His work, we can't be floundering around yet with the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of the life. We have to meet the devil on the battlefield, overcome him, put him in his place, and say, "I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ who loved me and gave himself for me." Amen?
Amen.
That's who Jesus is. He's victorious. He has power over the enemy and over the devil. So that's the number one thing we need to see about our Lord. He is no wimp. He is victorious. He is the conqueror. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world.
Amen.
Now we get into this biblical reading. Jesus declared here his mission publicly, right there in the synagogue. That's what he was doing. He was telling them, this is what I'm about. This is why I'm here. This is the mission that I have to accomplish. He declared, first of all, his authority. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me.
Hallelujah.
Do you know that you're anointed? Do you know that the power of the Holy Spirit is on your life? Before you accomplish the mission of Christ, before you go out to do the work of the Lord, before you begin to deal with the devil and face the sinners of this world, before you begin to do what Jesus came to do, you need to know you have someone bigger than you, greater than you, with more authority than what you have. You need to have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Oh my, I remember reading in the Bible about a young fellow by the name of Samson. The Bible says, at times the Spirit of the Lord came on him. And when the Spirit of the Lord came on him, he could take care of anything. You know some of the feats that he did? How many foxes did he get a hold of? How many? 200 foxes? What did he do with them? Tied their tails together, set a fire behind them, and put them out through the enemies. Now, what kind of a feat is that? How many of y'all can handle one fox? He was able to take the jawbone of a donkey. Just the jawbone of a donkey. An old dead donkey, and the flesh had all rotted off of it and it was clean. He picked it up, and with the jawbone of a donkey, he heaped up the bodies of the Philistine soldiers on piles. When the Spirit came upon him. I have a friend by the name, well, I think he died. Old Brother Truett. He was a real card. Great preacher. He was in a place preaching a revival. And a lady came to church and she came down to the altar and she got saved. And she said to Brother Truett after the service was over, he said she got saved and she went home and she didn't come back for a couple of days. And so he went over to see where she was. You got gloriously saved. Want to know what's happened? You didn't come back. And she went in. She told him, well, when I got saved, I was living in sin. I was living in this house with a man and wasn't married to him. I was living in adultery, living in sin. And when I came home from church, I told him he had to leave. He got mad. And she said, preacher, he's looking for you. He come out of the house, was walking down from the front porch, and when he got almost down to the steps to go down on the road, here come this fella riding a bicycle. And he pulled right up in front of Brother Truett. And he said to Brother Truett, if some preachers don't mind their own business, they're going to get hurt. Brother Truett said, what did you say? The man said, I said if some preachers don't mind their own business, they're going to get hurt. Brother Truett, the anointing of the Lord came on him. He said, mister, do you know that the Holy Ghost can come on me? And if the Holy Ghost comes on me, I'm liable to grab you and tear you from limb to limb. Up the road he went. I'm telling you, when you have the anointing, when the Holy Ghost comes on you, when the Spirit of God with you, the devils have to flee. The devil has to go. You have victory to be able to go out into the world and do the work of the Lord. And so you need that anointing. Have you been praying for the anointing of the Holy Ghost? Have you been praying for the touch of the Spirit of God, that when you open your mouth then begin to speak to people about Christ and the goodness of God, that the Spirit of conviction will fall upon them and they'll surrender to Jesus?
Hallelujah.
First of all, he declared that the Spirit of God gave him the authority. Secondly, he started to tell the mission that he was on. Number one was to preach the gospel, that is the good news, to the poor. Now, he wasn't only talking about those who are materially poor. Yes, the poor need the gospel. Those that don't have, those on welfare, those who have lost their jobs, those who have not much of this earthly goods, they need to hear the news. But I'm telling you, the guy that lives in the mansion on the top of the hill and drives the Rolls Royce, he needs to hear the gospel as well.
Amen.
They all need to hear the message of Christ. That poor blue-collar worker that is working to make a living and can hardly make it, he needs to hear the gospel. And the government worker, Lord knows the government worker that is getting a big pay sitting, I wouldn't say in the White House, but they all need to hear the gospel, the good news of Christ. But not only the poor, but those also who are poor in spirit. You ever met anyone like that? Those who need forgiveness. Those who need cleansing from their sins. This is our job as well. But like Jesus, we have to take the gospel outside the four church walls. How many are seeing the sinners coming into the church? I remember the days when we had revival and the sinners came to church to see what was going on. And I remember those days that the Spirit of God would come down, saints would pray in the altars, and sinners would come out of their seats down to the altars and weep and pray their way through to good old time salvation. But sinners don't come to church anymore. It's hard to get the saints to church. Look around. And so, those who are outside the four walls, that's where we need to take the gospel. Amen? To the materially poor and the spiritually poor, to the heroin addict, to the drunkard, to the downtrodden, to the prostitute, to those who are in sin, those who are bound by the fetters of sin. We need to take the message of Christ to those outside the wall. How often do we do that? Not too many people that I don't meet that while we're talking, it doesn't take me too long to get to that question. And that question is, where do you go to church? And a lot of times, most of the time, they'll respond and say, well, I don't. And then I have the answer. Oh, you're a good candidate. You open the door to begin to share with them the message of good news, the message of Christ. Where is your soul? Are you ready to meet God? Are you ready to meet the Lord? How often do we take this message about Jesus and serving Him outside of the church doors to those in the world. How many know there's sinners out there that need to be saved?
Yes. Yes.
Has anybody bumped shoulders with any the last week? Are they seeing Christ in your life? Are you a testimony to them as to who lives in you? What makes you tick? And what is it about? Why don't you cuss? Why don't you swear? Why don't you chew tobacco and blow blue smoke? Why don't you make the air foul with your language and your words? What's different about you? What's going on with you that you're not like everybody else? That's taking the message outside the church walls. Well, we're concerned about getting people in. I think we need to be more concerned about taking the message of Jesus out.
Amen.
And if we take it out and get it into the hearts and the lives and souls of others, guess what? They'll come in.
Amen.
Secondly, Jesus said, my mission is to heal the brokenhearted. You notice he didn't say, help the brokenhearted. He said, heal the brokenhearted. Those who are crushed by grief, shattered, opposed, cut off, blemished by sin, violated by sin, infected, diseased, weakened, subdued, injured, bankrupt, you name it, there's a lot of broken hearts out there. Anybody here ever had a broken heart? My first one was in third grade when my girlfriend broke up with me. My end of the world. But I soon learned there's a lot of other girls. Hello? I soon learned there's more fish in the sea than one. Amen, young people. Amen, young people. You get your eyes set on one, you better be praying. You better be seeking the Lord. I mean, you better be talking to God. You better get an idea as to what He wants. Because if you don't, you can live a life full of dread and discouragement. I've had them sitting in my study. I've had them sitting in my office. Been married 25, 30, 40, 50 years. And, you know, they're still at each other's throats. They're still arguing and carrying on. And it's not pleasant to live around the house. Because they didn't choose the right one that's pleasing to God. There's a lot of broken hearts, not only there, but there are those who have lost their loved ones, crushed by grief. I had a lady in my church one time, her husband died, and her relatives found her in the bitter cold, sitting out on his tombstone, talking to him. She just fell apart. She needed love. She needed somebody to help. She needed somebody to wrap their arms around her. Jesus said, I've come to heal the brokenhearted. I've come to preach captive liberty to the captives. Those are prisoners of war. The reference here, the liberty to the captives, this word captives is to redeem prisoners of war or kidnapped person, to redeem them with a ransom. And Jesus is saying, I've come to preach liberty to those who need to be set free from with a ransom for their lives. These captives are powerless to free themselves and cannot pay the penalty demanded. Christ can pay the penalty. And guess what? We can go to the world. We can tell the world you are bound with drugs. You're bound with heroin. You're bound with lust. You're bound with addictions. You're bound with physical desires, pornography or whatever, you're bound with depravity and bound with depression and bound with anxiety, you can be set free. Hallelujah! Because of Jesus Christ. You have had a ransom paid for you to break the bondage and give you liberty. Somebody say praise the Lord. He said, I've also come to give sight to the blind. He gave sight to the physically blind. But he not only gave sight to the physically blind, he gave sight to the spiritually blind. Remember that scripture where he said, the God of this world has blinded the eyes. People are hurting so bad with depressions and anxieties and pains in their life until they think heroin is the answer. And then they get addicted to it. And then they can't get away from it. They can't get free of it. The God of this world has blinded them to say, this is your answer. Take this pill. Take that pill. Take this. Take a shot of that. And it'll set you free from your depression, from your anxiety. It'll make you, not think about your problems and your struggles. I don't know. I've never had a hangover. But I happen to think I've seen a lot of other people who did. And the problems are worse the next day. After the liquor has worn off. Can I get an amen? Is that true?
Amen.
You wake up in jail. Oh yeah, I got his number. And guess who's got your number? That's not the answer. The answer is to find spiritual enlightenment. The old devil wants to hit you with everything he can hit. He wants to hit the world with everything he can. He wants them to make it feel like it's helpless and hopeless. But I'm telling you, there is one who walked on the water. You can touch the blinded eyes. They will see not only the physical eyes, but the spiritual eyes will be opened and they'll know there is freedom and liberty in Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
He said also part of my mission is to set at liberty those who are bruised. Those who are physically, mentally, emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually bruised. Those who are disabled, injured, wounded, hurting, afflicted, battered. With the list could go on and on. Those who are bruised. Anybody here ever been bruised? You know what it's about. Bruise needs freedom. Bruise needs someone to wrap loving arms around them and set them free from their bruises, their woundedness, their disabilities, their injuries of life, their hurting. That's the mission of Jesus. That's what Jesus said, I'm here to do. And then last of all, he said, to preach the age of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Jesus, the Messiah, has come. He is here to save all who will be calling upon Him. I've stood by the caskets of over 300 and some people. I watched a man one time walk up to his dead wife in the casket, filled full of bitterness and hatred, spit in her face. The last thing he did before they closed the lid. People out there need salvation. They need Christ. I've kind of heard some people kind of say, well, if they choose to go to hell, let them go. Jesus didn't say that. Jesus went where they were.
Yes.
Jesus left that synagogue that day. And for the rest of His ministry, where did you find Him? You found Him in the cemetery with the demon possessed. You found Him with the sinner, the publican, the taxpayer. You found Him with those that needed healing. You found Him with the dead. You found Him out there among the people, touching them, ministering to them, reaching out to a woman taken in the act of adultery. You found Him with the depraved, because His mission was preach the age of salvation. His mission was preach the gospel, heal the brokenhearted, give liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and set at liberty those who are oppressed, abused. Jesus was reading Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. But He abruptly stopped in the middle of verse 2. He didn't read the whole verse. Why? Because the last part of the verse had to do with judgment. Jesus' present ministry was salvation. It wasn't judgment. His future ministry would be to judge the world. Isaiah 61, 2b. We still live in the day of Christ's salvation. How many believe that?
Amen.
We still live when Jesus still saved. He hasn't come yet to judge the world. And yet we as a church, so many times we sit in our church pews with our arms folded singing, oh hallelujah, hallelujah to the Lamb. And while the world is going to hell in a handbasket on the outside, and we could care less. This is the day of salvation. We look at the world and say, you're bad. You're rotten. You're no good. Where Jesus would go out and wrap His arms around them and say, I love you, and you need deliverance and healing, and you need help in your life. Come, and I will give you life. You see, we need to pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit so as we, Emmanuel Chapel, can fulfill the mission of Christ to Smithsburg and Washington County, where Christ has planted us.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Who will come this morning and seek the anointing of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to go out from these walls and do His work? Who will come? Who will say, I want the anointing? I want God's anointing on my life. I want the Spirit of God to anoint me. Because I see now. I see we're in the day of salvation. I see we're in the day when we need to go out to the world and wrap the loving arms of Christ around them rather than judging and rather than putting them down. We need to go to them to set them free, to deliver them, to give them spiritual victory. Yes. Come on, saints. Yes. Do you want it? Is that your desire? How many want that anointing? How many want that inspiration of the Holy Ghost? That inspiration of the Holy Spirit? God is calling me to go out. He's calling me to touch the needs of others, to touch the lives of others. They're all around us. We're not going to get them into church unless we get to them first in their situation.
Amen.
Where they are.
Yes.
Lord, anoint me.
Yes.
Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Yes. Fill me with your holy anointing. God, I feel empty. I need you to anoint me. Move on up and give plenty of room for everybody to get around.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Come on, saints. I want the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, touch me. Holy Spirit, anoint me. Holy Spirit, fall on me. Holy Spirit, move me. Holy Spirit, touch me in a way I've never been touched before, so that where I go, when I go to AC&T, when I go to Sheet, when I go to the gas station, when I go to the shop, when I go to the grocery store, wherever I hear and see sinners that are bound and that are bruised and that are taken captive, I can give them the Lord who will set them free. Lord, anoint me. Touch me with your presence. God, Holy Spirit, fall upon me. Fall in my life. Fall in my spirit. Fall in my soul. Oh, Spirit of God, I'm hungry for you. I'm hungry for you. I'm hungry for your anointing. Oh, I'm hungry for you to fill me and flood my soul. Baptize me in your spiritual power. Baptize me with your spiritual authority and anointing that I can leave here and touch the souls of humankind. Just like you did. I can lay hands on them regardless of where they're at. I can pray with them on the job. I can pray with them on the street corner. I can pray with them in their car. I can pray with them wherever I happen to meet them and help set them free by the Spirit and the power of Almighty God. That's your mission, Jesus. And I take up the mission you gave me. I will fulfill the mission you've given me, Lord. Anoint me with your presence. Anoint me with your Holy Spirit. Anoint me with the Holy Ghost. Flood my soul with spiritual power, just like the church of Acts had it. Oh, just like you poured out on the 120 in the upper room, Lord. Fill me, flood me with your spiritual authority that I can go and preach the message of Christ and deliver and set free the captives. Yes, Lord, here I am. It's not us, Lord. It's not by might nor by power, but it's by your Holy Spirit. Spirit of God, come. Breathe on your people. Breathe on your breathe on your people this morning. Breathe on your church. Give them that spiritual power and anointing. Hallelujah. To touch the hearts and lives of those who are drowning in the sin of this world. Drowning in the depressions and anxieties of this whole world. I desire you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus told his disciples, go to the city of Jerusalem and tarry till you be endued with power from on high. I'm telling you, saints, go to your house. Go to your home. Get down to business with God. Seek Him until you're anointed with power by the Holy Spirit. Seek Him till the Spirit of God so fills and floods your soul with His anointing that you can say like Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And He has sent me. He has sent me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, sight to the blind, and liberty to those who are oppressed. Anoint me, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Is that your desire? I want you to take that desire home. You find a pine tree grove. You find a room in the house. You find some place where you and God can get together. And you can seek Him and feel His presence till He anoints you with that supernatural power. And once you're anointed, friend, when you go out, it'll be just like Jesus went out. And when you touch the souls of others around you, they'll be touched and delivered and set free. Brother John, people can come into your garage out there, and you might not fix their points on their car. You may be laying hands on their head or on their shoulder and praying, God, touch this man, touch this woman. They're hurting. They need Christ. And you see the power of God do His work in His will. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm gone.